shy little rover, glimmer, glimmer, lead us less too far we wander.
Hello and welcome to As the Worm Turns. This is Amber sitting in for Jill. And we have our weekly wonderful worms, Lance and Lulu, with us today. Yeah. Even our snow worm, Lulu, yes. is still here.
Yeah. Right. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. And, yeah, I'll be heading over, though.
Is this your last show for a little while?
Both of us, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No, that's okay. So this is your last chance to talk to Lulu if you want to, and Lance for a while. So, by the way, you can call in. The number is 527-4868 or 1-800-KVNF now. So, it's winter.
We love it. I love it. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Smell time to take a break.
Time to take a break. You can even tell by my posture in the chair here.
She looks like she's sleeping.
I know.
Hibernation posture.
Hibernation is setting in only at night, though. But you get a lot of nighttime, so
you get a lot
okay.
of nighttime nowadays, yeah.
It's good news.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Rest.
Mm-hmm. How about you? You're taking a break off? Break. Well, you said that you were working on carrots today, though, weren't you?
Well, I still have over 300 pounds of carrots out there.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so anyways.
under the straw?
No, it's underneath blankets.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
You know what? I realized, I didn't realize. Jeff let me know that I actually gave out the wrong number for the radio station. It's 1-866-KVNF now, not 1-800. I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway, if you want to call in.
Yeah.
Yes.
You guys know the numbers.
I know. I should know the numbers. Yeah. But.
No, you don't need to know them because you have a lot to think about. There
well,
you are.
Don't we all? Yeah. Don't we all? Well, let's think about winter gardening. I was pondering the elements of winter and like the ways that winter can benefit you or help you. Like, how do we use the winter season, the elements of the freeze and the thaw and the winter season to benefit our gardens.
The blanket of snow.
Yeah.
The
like what snow. Elements can we use to
well,
make
pray
our gardens
for cold.
Better? We want it to be cold.
You cold know what? Because that's the bug thing.
That's it.
Knocks
too.
Out the bugs.
True.
Really great.
Yep.
True. Yeah.
Somebody else was talking cold. About that, about the cold, and came up with another reason. Good. The bugs for sure. And
well, the fruit trees need so much cold for good fruit production.
Yeah.
So a certain number of days or a
yeah,
certain amount of
yeah, and I forget
cold.
They what they call them, but it's cold
stratifying,
days.
Stratifying, but not.
Yeah.
Oh, like some, days yeah. frozen.
That
to make
they
the
have
fruit.
To be below 30 degrees or something like that.
Is that a dormancy thing where mm-hmm. they're like.
Yeah, the only thing I was.
Next year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, the only thing I was. But wine grapes, if they're not completely dormant, that will kill them. Or
right.
knock them down to the ground. They'll come back up.
Right.
So you really want wine grapes especially to be really dormant. So sometimes early November, they're still not quite dormant.
Yeah.
Oh. There's not a whole lot you can do about that.
No. It's not, no. Oh. It's just what happens.
It's just the way it goes.
It's just the way it goes. And my apple tree, Big Mama, had green leaves right up until a week ago.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, they're still
too.
Green, but now they're dead and going to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was starting to think about the drought, if that was all part of that, too, because it seemed like it took forever for the leaves to come off the trees. And like we were talking earlier about the lack of moisture not forming the buds. Because we think, oh, fall, the leaves are falling. No, they're pushed.
Well,
you know, which actually brings a different level to it. Sort, I don't know. Somehow it doesn't seem as humane to think that they're pushed out. But they're pushed out by the new bud. And,
right.
And it took forever this year for the leaves to leave the tree. And Big Mama, the apple tree, she hung on to the greenness of them forever.
I have a couple trees that, well, the Granny Smith holds its leaves, doesn't leave them. Drop them till springtime.
Wow.
With the new growth.
Wow.
And is it protecting the new
I have no idea.
Who knows?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, somebody knows for sure, but
yeah.
We stumped our own chump selves.
We stumped ourselves. Well, if you know, you give us a call, 527-4868.
Yeah, huh? And what else hung on to its leaves? Oh, the pear tree out there still has pears, leaves on it. Yeah, and they're real waxy and brown. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't, the whole year was odd. Mm-hmm. So all I want from this winter is cold, moisture, and lots of snow.
It looks like it's coming in the next week. Yeah. I see a lot of snowflakes and a lot of 12s and 14s at night coming up here. So it's going to be really darn cold out there.
Yeah, yeah. And Saturday when I skied the last 3 days over the weekend, and up on the hill, I'll tell you what, there's plenty of snow.
Great.
Yeah, it was a full-on powder day Saturday. It was fabulous.
Oh, okay.
The snow was soft.
Getting back to gardening now.
Sorry.
they took 3 minutes off the show, so we have to stay focused.
We have to stay with gardens.
Okay.
But about the winter elements.
Yeah, that thing called snow is really important.
But like in terms of using like the mulching and like using that thaw and freeze, like what does that do for our gardens? Like how can we maximize that effect of winter?
Well,
what do you think?
I was just, I don't mulch, so my garden's hand turned.
Right.
And the freezing and thawing all winter long breaks up those clots.
Right. So do you want to kind of crack the ground open? And
That's my technique.
That's Lance's technique?
That's my technique. So I'm not saying anybody has to do that, but that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
And a lot of all the dandelions and on the edges of my garden beds, all the grass is all turned over. Well, they're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, right, because they're going to freeze. The roots are going to freeze.
They're out. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're out. So that's what I'm doing. And then I mentioned earlier of using soil sulfur.
Yes.
Oh, somebody asked me about that. Yeah, talk about that. Somewhere.
And so I have spread 100 pounds of sulfur on all my garden. Well, on the entire garden.
Right.
You know, because even though I have these lawn areas, the pathways areas, the roots of the fruit trees are in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done all those areas too.
Oh, okay.
And that will just slowly, the snow and moisture and whatever will break it down to settle into the ground, and then the soil life takes it and makes it into sulfuric acid.
Yeah, and it acidifies our alkaline soil.
Well, it helps.
It helps.
And the reason why I'm doing that is I'm watering with well water that is like slightly alkaline.
Okay.
So I'm doing, and you know, I've got plenty of compost and all that stuff. So that's one of the reasons I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as mulching, I was thinking, you know, if you do just a 2-inch mulch, at least the moisture will melt through that and the mulch will hold the moisture in.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do, you know, 6 or 8 inch, even 12-inch deep mulch, the ground won't freeze.
You may not get the moisture down there, but that could be relevant to how much snow you get too.
Yeah.
And you know, people that are in a place where there's more snow, that melting snow is eventually going to get in there.
Yeah. Well, what I'm thinking of is if it's thicker like that, the ground might not freeze, and then your soil life stays somewhat active all winter long to break that stuff down.
And that's good, right?
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
Yeah.
And I do mulch. Do we have a caller?
We do have a caller.
Oh,
I didn't want to interrupt the flow.
No,
but we have Jane.
Go for it.
In Paonia with a question. Are you there, Jane? Sorry to make you wait.
I just wanted to mention another benefit of cold temperatures, and that is grasshopper eggs in the soil. If we have warm winters, you have more grasshoppers, don't you? And really a lot of cold freezes kills the eggs.
Yes, that's very good. And the sooner it cools off, the more it kills them.
Yeah.
Because the larva and the eggs... I don't know about the eggs, but the larva, the longer they have of a warm fall to dig deeper, the less they're killed.
Oh, so we want it cold fast.
You want it colder earlier so that it starts affecting their populations.
Yeah.
I think we have that this year.
Thanks, Jane. Yeah, I think we sort of had that, you know. But getting back to the mulching and not mulching and breaking down and elements and things, I use maple leaves on my garden, and it's pretty well mulched. But my soil is not newly, you know, I've been working on the soil for a long time now, so my soil is going to be soft anyway, and when I go to till in the spring, the first thing I'll do is till all that in. And then I might actually, depending on when I get to it, I might add a little mulch on top of that while I'm waiting for warmer weather to plant my seeds. Or I might put some manure down. It's just do what you feel like doing, I think.
Yeah, every day, every year changes.
Every year it's a little different, you know.
And like what you have on hand to use also changes.
And then there's that, And what kind of a season did you have? And, you know, I suppose if, I'm not even going to say if it didn't snow, but I suppose that I would have to change my strategy a bit because my leaves are pretty dense. But they are the maple leaves, which are fragile and break down. Easily.
Yeah.
And I rototilled my chicken yard with all the elm leaves in it. My God.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to sell off the dirt in the chicken yard. It's getting too big. I mean, now you have to dig a hole to get in and out the door. Yeah. Of the coop, you know.
I'm right down the block, Lulu.
No, come on up with your, you know, we'll shovel some into your wheelbarrow or your truck because it's pretty sweet. So you just do what you feel, you know, kind of just get a feel for it and do stuff. And
that's true.
Every year is different.
Yeah.
Nothing's written in stone in the garden, that's for sure.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And the other thing about just cold is the plants take a rest. We take a rest.
Right.
You know.
Oh.
Just relax.
Time to take a rest.
You know.
Go for a walk.
Yes.
Do something else other than garden.
You know, right? I mean, just walk outside and look around and you can tell that everything is quiet. The colors in the shrubs and the grasses that are left and the bushes and everything is quiet. The colors are all quiet. Nothing's screaming life anymore. Everything is just going, I'll chill out. Chill out for a while. You know, and it just waits for Mother Earth to turn her great belly back to the sun, and if you want to look at it, oh, man, what a trip, right? It's all dead. It's all gone. It went away.
That's true. Does it mean that, like, we shouldn't be – I feel like it's past the point where you want to be digging in your garden because, you know, it's frozen in the morning. Mm-hmm. You'd have, like, the hour between 2 and 3 maybe for it to thaw out enough to dig.
Yeah.
I feel like – is it just past the time where we should be digging around in things or can you still dig?
If you want, I'm going to do it because I still have to get those carrots out.
You're not done yet.
I'm not done yet.
Right.
So a little bit at a time.
Yeah. But if you were like, I should put these perennials in that I never planted over the summer.
I don't know.
It's probably
not
ideal right now.
Well, not so much.
Yeah.
The problem with perennials, putting them in now, is they don't develop a root system to survive.
Right.
And so you'd have to be meticulously watching them and watering them.
Because
they don't have any root system.
They have no root.
That's much worse.
You know, think about what a perennial does. The reason it is a perennial is because it stores all of its food and energy in its roots.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so if you are transplanting something now, you know, and then you disturb all that mycelium and all that other great stuff that is around, all that chemistry that plant has built up with the soil, in the soil, and you move it, it's just not going to work.
Shock it too much.
You can still
You can do it if you're really good.
You can still plant garlic.
Oh, really? Yeah, for sure.
And you can still plant spring flowering bulbs.
Yeah. If you can get the dirt to go, you can do it.
Yeah.
Okay, we have another caller, Dave, calling from Montrose.
Oh, awesome. Hi,
Good
Dave.
Good evening, Dave.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Enjoying your program, as always. I just walked in the door and turned it on, and I missed the first part, so sorry about that. But I did want to share one little thing that really worked out really well in my garden.
I love that.
Great.
And you might know this, maybe the listeners, some listeners don't, but at the end of the season, you know, we had a tremendous number of tomatoes and beautiful, big, heavy plants. And here comes the freeze. And so for the second time, I went ahead and yanked the whole plant up. I had like about 7 or 8 plants, and they were really heavy. They were like 50 to 70 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
And I had some hooks in the basement in the cellar, and I just carried them down there and hung them on the hooks. And I'm still picking tomatoes and ripening.
Yep.
The plants are totally dry at this point.
Yep.
But I'm still picking tomatoes. They're ripening about 5 or 6 a day.
Wow.
And I've got cherry tomatoes, heirloom tomatoes,
oh,
some Roma tomatoes. And they're all just, like, slowly ripening. And I'm going to get all the way through Christmas and have tomatoes.
Great.
So I just wanted to tell people about that, you know, to spread that word. And there's no light down there whatsoever. It's just pitch black as a tomb down there. And they're still ripening, turning red.
Good.
Yeah. No.
I have a friend in Gunnison that she harvested my yellow pear tree.
Cherry tomatoes.
And she hung them up in her house there in Gunnison. And during the school year, she does piano lessons for the kids. And so the kids, while they're waiting for their piano lessons, were eating.
Are over there munching.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
God.
No, it's really a fun
treat. The tomatoes,
aren't
that tasty, but the tomatoes aren't that tasty, really. I mean, they're almost kind of like you get at the Kroger's. But you can use them in, you know, sauces. And,
they're a little mealy.
I used them
but
on sandwiches the other day, and they're you know.
Good to cook with.
Yeah, they're good to cook with, you bet. You know, and the whole point is they're yours.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're free. Yep. You might as well let it finish.
It also helps some of the anxiety of the autumn when you know, oh, man, I'm going to lose 500 pounds of good tomatoes.
Right.
No, you aren't. Just hang them up in the basement.
Keep them in the basement.
So anyway, that's it. I just wanted to pass that along and make sure people are aware of that.
That's a good one, right.
That is a good one.
Thanks for the reminder because, people do. A lot of people just get burnt out by the time they're done, you know, with the season.
Uh-huh.
But if you're not burnt out, you can continue hanging your plants.
Yeah, it does create a mess, too. But
that's what basements are for.
That's right. That's why it's in the basement.
Cats in the mess. My cats have to live in the basement.
thanks. Yeah. Thanks for the tip, Dave.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
All right. I'm going to keep listening in.
All right.
Thanks.
All righty. Thank
night.
You. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know,
keep harvesting.
Keep on keeping on.
What about small trees and wrapping them in burlap? I don't know if we've talked about this. Some people do that over winter for the little saplings if you have a little tiny tree.
Yeah, it's the
to prevent
sunscald.
Yeah.
And it'll be on the south side only.
Mm-hmm.
The burlap you're saying is for sunscald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was more for like protection.
No.
No.
And you can use burlap. They actually make a paper type commercial thing that wraps, it's a tree wrap. And it's about 3 or 4 inches.
Yeah, it looks like silver tape, duct tape, only it's not. It's paper.
It's paper, and it can be silver, it can be brown,
and
you wrap it around, and it's for winter sunburn.
All the leaves are gone.
All the leaves are gone.
And the trunk will actually burn.
Yeah, the trunks are tender and young, and they haven't built up enough of that outer layer of bark to protect themselves from the sun.
And what does it look like when a trunk burns a tree?
It's kind of scaly and creates a scabby part.
That whole side will actually die, and you can see on the back side, the north side will be, and it'll eventually grow back around.
Oh, okay. I think I've seen that. So the north side will be really healthy, but the south side will be damaged.
The south side will be damaged.
It can get scaly. I mean, there's different degrees, right? So it might get a lot. And
so burlap works,
altogether.
And if that's you have one tree and you don't want to buy this product, you use burlap.
Yeah.
Use any type of water. Water-based paint.
Water-based paint.
And you mix it 50-50 with water.
Wow. And a whitewash. Yeah.
You paint it on the tree. It's a whitewash.
Oh.
You're basically just putting on sunscreen.
Sunscreen for your trees.
Or covering it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, you could wrap it in just about anything. I wouldn't wrap it in aluminum or like that.
Well, then it would be too hot.
It would be too hot, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So something that breathes, know, and just is going to keep the majority of the sun.
And so how big of a tree would we be concerned about?
Any young tree up to probably 4 or 5 years old.
4 or 5 years old?
You know, I think once they start to get out of that real smooth bark stage
into a more woody bark,
I think you're fine at that point.
And you would do it up to where they branch out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and we should talk about fig trees while we're on the subject of trees. Just real for those of us who just have
just
to try to grow figs.
Oh, my God.
Because we have this in common.
Yes.
So I put mine in a big pot and drag it in and out inside in the winter. It's going to be kind of a big tree at this point. But that is not your tack. What are you doing?
Well,
with your
somebody
fig?
Gave me a fig tree and really I planted planted it in the ground.
Right.
And I stack bales of hay
outside.
Around.
So it's not for our zone, right? It's more of a zone six or seven?
It's Mediterranean.
Right.
It's 30 degrees is about the extent.
The lowest it's once
been. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So I have read of a technique that you'd plant it on the south side of a house.
Gotcha.
And come after the first frost, you would actually dig a trench to the south. Okay.
To the south of the tree?
Of the tree, away from the house. Dig a trench.
Okay.
And then you would cut roots on the north side and the south side. And because it's a ficus, which means rubber tree, it's very flexible. You lay that tree into the trench.
Yes, I've heard you can bury them.
Oh, yes.
And then you would weatherproof that. You'd put some straw on that, throw some dirt, maybe some plastic or weatherproofing, maybe some bales on blankets on top of that.
Yes.
And come spring, you reverse that.
You dig it up.
Dig it up. The trick is to make sure you get the fig that does not need the wasps for pollination.
Right.
Because most, like the Black Mission fig, it needs a specific type of wasp that actually burrows into the, because they don't have blossoms on surface. The blossom is actually underneath the bark at the crotch of each leaf.
Uh-huh.
And it actually burrows in there and actually pollinates and lays eggs and dies. And so
every fig is a dead wasp.
Got a dead wasp in it.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. So you need to get like the black turkey or some of the others, a green one. And those ones don't need that wasp.
Okay. Yeah, but tell us what you did with your tree.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about your fig tree, though. Because you planted it in the ground.
I planted it in the ground. I told you I stacked bales of hay around it.
Okay. Right, but you didn't tell these guys on the other ends of these microphones.
So I planted, it's actually nine bales.
Nine bales tall.
Three tall.
It's like a pyramid.
I did like triangle around it.
Okay.
And then I took loose flakes of hay and threw that on top.
Okay. Because they drop all their leaves and they just look completely dormant.
Yeah.
And is that going to work, do you think?
The worst thing that's going to happen is, of course, it will completely die. I think if the next step is it will winter kill down to ground level.
Yeah, right. You know?
And the best thing is nothing dies at all.
That's great. So how big is this tree now that you have?
It's probably 3.5-4 feet high.
Oh, okay.
That's not too bad. That's doable.
Yeah.
God, I was visualizing this 20-foot high pyramid of hay bales.
No.
You know, you're putting them up there with a backhoe.
I will only let that thing get maybe 6 or 7 feet tall. Because I won't be able to maintain it.
Yeah, after that you can't. Yeah,
and
I could
keep cutting it back.
And maybe one year I'll decide to dig a trench.
Right.
And cut the roots and just lay it in.
Good, and then we can talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
Right, see, that's the whole point. You just try things and do weird stuff and just have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's just fun, right? I mean, when you're out in your garden, Amber, I know you're having a blast.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Nothing but.
I know. Because you're a cuckoo lady. I mean, you know, she's got this huge garden. It's fabulous. I mean, it just...
Yeah.
Every time I go by there's a new project. I'm like,
so tell
cool.
me about it.
Yeah.
I know. My hands tell me all winter. You know,
yeah. They get a little arthritic.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's another really good reason for winter.
To rest. Yes.
To rest.
And Lance was saying he doesn't have a greenhouse because he would never stop. And I can understand that.
Yeah.
I can too.
If you get a greenhouse, you don't have an excuse. You got to get out there. You got to plant something in it.
Yeah.
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 No, I think I the rest period is perfect.
Yeah, I know what 365 days are a year or so.
Yeah.
And I've done it.
Yeah,
he's a wise man.
In California, did you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get you over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty quick. I done. I can do something else now. Yeah. I got to go. Bye. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I have a friend in Hawaii, on the island of Kauai. And if he doesn't leave the island and go to the mainland someplace, he's there 365 days a year. He gets every 6 weeks, he gets a crop that he's, you know, because that's how often he's planting.
Right.
You know, so if you, those kind of places, it's a burnout.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so.
Can't stop.
I'm going skiing. You guys can do whatever you want. I'm going skiing.
Yeah.
She's off.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, let's see. We have 1 minute left. Do we have another?
Well, just still, we were thinking of timing planting.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it real quick.
Yeah.
Because if you are going to overwinter some plants, I have noticed that if you want to do that, you got to do it in like October or earlier, ideally. Get them established or wait until like February. That's my experience.
This is greenhouse.
This is, yes.
Greenhouse cold frame.
Yeah. Greenhouse cold frame. What do you experience?
Late November or even December, if you have the ground is ready, I have just last week I planted lettuce, spinach, cilantro, dill. You can plant parsnips. You're not watering them.
Yeah, they're just going to sit there.
The seeds just sit there and
not germinate.
Not germinate. And then I have this one lettuce that's really hard to germinate unless it's cold stratified and freezing. And it's an Amish deer tongue.
I grow that.
But it's it really likes to be cold.
It does, yeah.
And my best deer tongues always come up volunteer.
Me too.
In the spring.
Like crazy.
Oh, how fun.
Spring.
So
yeah.
I planted 3 rows of that because I need new seed. So.
And you know then, it's going to survive. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and the other thing about winter and elements and planting and all of that is you're out of time. We're out of light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going into the deep pit of winter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then on the solstice, it'll change and we'll start coming back. But, you know, we're going into there's not enough light.
Yeah, nothing's growing right
now. To bring the life in.
Yeah.
So let it be.
Yeah.
Let it sit.
Wait until February now.
Wait until February.
Mm-hmm.
There's a magic time in February when you can put stuff, and it's
like the second, third week of February.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It gets to be like 60 for like 3 days.
And
the silver maples happen to bloom during that time. I know
something
that
happens in February, and it's and that's it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wait
till February.
A little teaser.
Yeah, these seeds that I've planted, if I don't see them coming up in like by mid-March, I'll actually water them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll start watering. If
you're
it's
not
going
to have to this year.
Yeah.
It's gonna
hopefully
snow.
There still be snow on the ground then.
That's what I'm hoping.
I'm hoping so too.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, we are out of time. We're over time, but
I know
we should hand it off to
Tara's in there. She's ready.
She's ready.
One
woman's perspective coming up next. So, thanks for being with me.
Yeah.
Have a good winter.
See you all next spring, you guys.
I'll be here in January sometime.
Okay. Good.
Well, yeah, and I can call you then.
Yeah.
There you go. Skype in.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little, low, and low.